It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We have not 50 Pirates in 50 days. We'll get that fixed here in a second, but I guess he is a pirate. We have Kyle from LaGrange Barber. You're a pirate, aren't you, man?
Always. What's going on, guys?
Yeah, you're a pirate 365 days a year, so not just 50 days. And a man that's, I guess we could say you're a pirate all the time now, too. That's Corey Glore. How are you, man?
Doing well, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm trying to get it, you know, shown beneath the social media tags here. But, yeah, there you go. I'm wearing pirate garb for you.
Let me see if I can fix that. Yeah, we'll work on that. Wanted to have you on. Obviously, baseball being big and a lot of stories come. We didn't know when we were going to book you that we'd be talking about the Marlins and all kinds of crazy stuff going on there, how long it took for the baseball season to start. There's all sorts of things. We can talk pirate baseball. We can talk about how great you looked and sounded with Little League in Greenville. Man, they've got a great setup. We'll talk about that. The second half of the show, we have Tyler Russell of the Edenton Steamers. Corey, I'd love to have you up there one night if you can. It's actually a place you can watch baseball right now. So I'd love to have you up there any night you want. You're a guest of mine, so we'll make it happen for you.
Yeah, they're few and far between, but they're starting to, well, hopefully keep opening up here in light of recent news.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we can get that. And certainly I know with everything going on, we'll talk about COVID and how you're handling, I know, doing that. What's going on? Let's start with you since we last talked to you. How are things for you? And I know that you're getting some work, so I'm happy for you, right?
Well, yeah, when did we last talk? I mean, it's been a bit, but no, I've been
like
kind
in April,
of
maybe.
Yeah, it's been a bit. I mean, it's I've been kind of still in ride out mode, like most everyone else. And last week, I started doing some of the Greenville Little League broadcasts that they're doing on Facebook, and that's been fun to knock the rust off a little bit of broadcasting live sports. And so, just to kind of get back to doing something like that has been a pretty nice joy for me because it's what I do. And to even have just a couple of opportunities with what the folks there at Stalling Stadium have put together, that they reached out to me and we were able to make some things work out. So that's been great to do.
Corey, you got into the Little League now, but did you mute any of the MLB games over the last few days and do your own play-by-play?
I didn't do that. No, I didn't. I am a big enough nerd in terms of sports broadcasting, though, where I jumped around on my SiriusXM app and listened to a bunch of baseball broadcasts, and I'm partial to certain ones, and so I would land on certain random broadcasts and just kind of listen to how road broadcast teams have called games off of monitors. I was pretty fascinated by how they would do that here to start. And there are varying degrees of effectiveness depending on where you listened. But I would have baseball on television, but I would jump around and listen to a bunch on the radio.
We definitely don't need to have one thing about it is that canned noise and the fans, those fans in the stands. I'm just like, I understand what they're trying to do, but I don't like it.
Give me the game. Just give me the game. Like, yeah, that's what I need.
I'm going to disagree with y'all. I think Fox did a much better. ESPN with their canned noise came from the stadiums over the PA. Fox did digital crowd noise, and they did it really well. I think ESPN should do the same.
See, I caught a bit of. I want to say it was Saturday night's Fox broadcast of the Yankees Nationals. And I thought the crowd noise was overbearing. Like you don't need to gussy this up in my book. Just right now they're back and they're playing and we'll see how many days that lasts with recent news today, but just show me the game. The Brewers Cubs, they didn't have crowd noise initially, but then you started hearing people from the dugouts and they kind of panicked a little bit. So now they start adding crowd noise. And so there's a concern about hearing things from the players. But I don't need the virtual fans. I don't need the piped in crowd noise. I'll watch the game. Like that's all I need or listen to the game.
Yeah, as far
hey, Corey,
as
we can have. I was just going to say quickly, Kyle, we can actually have where they can pipe in people doing the wave, right? You know, where everybody's standing up.
Yeah, Fox can do that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, guys, people are used to hearing the crowd. I mean, I think that's, you know, try to make it some sense of normalcy. I mean, you know, we all know it's fake. But in terms of the news today with the Marlins, you know, I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, if anybody thought that they were going to go through this whole thing and guys weren't going to test positive for COVID, they were delusional. So, I mean, if they weren't prepared for this and didn't expect it, and is that going to make everybody just want to quit and go crawl back in a hole, then they should have never started.
Exactly. Like, I think we actually agree, even though we seem to slightly disagree here, because it's with everything that's come out today, not just that there's now 13 on that organization that are positive right now, and they're still in Philadelphia, but there's nothing in the 100 plus page document that Major League Baseball put together about how to handle multiple players in an organization testing positive. So they weren't ready for it. That's the issue I have. And it's like, yeah, so, I mean, you had players before the year even started testing positive for coronavirus. Freddie Freeman was the biggest name, and he came out and explained what was going on with him. But it seemed like it took 4 days for this to catch Major League Baseball off guard. And that's what just frankly ticks me off. The plan was already going to be shaky with having teams travel still everywhere, whereas everyone else in pro sports by and large is trying to condense everybody. They didn't do that. And I understand that the logistics of trying to do that is much more difficult with baseball than it is with basketball. But for everything we heard today and how the Marlins yesterday, before their game with the Phillies, decided to play even when they found out that they had four players with positive tests. And then they said, we're going to play anyway. And then the players made the decision. That's when you need people in Major League Baseball, or at the minimum with the Marlins, to say, wait a minute, like, we can't be doing this. And now it's already gotten pushed to a really dangerous spot, and we're 5 days into the season. So it seems as like there's no way this is going to occur, the 60-game season, without some sort of positives coming. The fact that you have now an outbreak in one team less than a week into the season, and it seems to have caught Major League Baseball way off guard, that's inexcusable. And that can't happen after you spent 4 months screaming at each other about starting a season and then rushing into the start of your season. Like, they took way too long, and they also didn't take long enough to figure out how to do this. And that got us to today, where there are games being played right now on my television. There's one behind me. But now you're at a point where, when will the Marlins play again? Like, they have their separate team in Miami. They're not there yet. And the Orioles that they're supposed to play have already left Miami. They're going back home. So now you're talking about at least middle of the week, they won't play again. And then who's going to be healthy enough to play? And so now one team's already at a huge disadvantage. And I don't know how this originated. I don't know who's patient A in the Marlins right now. I don't think that matters, because the system that Major League Baseball just kind of cobbled together was built to fail. And now we're seeing the start of it. Hopefully it doesn't completely crumble, but this was the start of it. And everyone that kind of saw it being built, like, wait, like, this is going to have some issues. And Major League Baseball wasn't accounting for it. That can't happen. And that's what happened today.
All right,
Corey, we do have
you got to have a plan in place. If you have guys test positive, if you have multiple guys test positive, that's it. You cancel the game yesterday, and you start the test, and then you don't go ahead and play and risk, you know, having other people infected. You gotta have a better plan in place, and you know, do particularly with the Marlins. Everybody knows Miami right now is the hotbed for COVID.
So Florida, Florida is a huge, yeah. Well, and Florida, so adding Florida, Tampa in too, yeah, but.
Yes, South Florida, Miami. At one time they were saying Miami's the new New York for COVID.
Yeah, two weeks ago.
So, you know, you gotta know what's going on, and it's dumb. It's just really stupid. They didn't plan better, and it's irritating to me, Corey. Like you, I think we look at it. I think we're looking at it the same, but different.
Yeah.
But it's just stupid.
I mean, it shouldn't have reached the point where the Marlins deciding for themselves that they were going to play yesterday, even when they found out that Garrett Cooper tested positive and Jose Urena tested positive, and they still push forward with it. Like, there needs to be an adult in the room, an adult who understands what this is, and that's not Don Mattingly, and that's not whoever is the GM of the Marlins. I don't know who that is, and it's not Derek Jeter. Like, it's got to be much more contained than what it has been, and it took 5 days to reach this point. So it goes to the organization itself has been so wildly dysfunctional since, not the Marlins, Major League Baseball. You could say the Marlins have been too, but Major League Baseball just could not for the life of them figure out their priorities here to try and get a season back in play. And that leads us to everything that's come about today, where four teams aren't playing for the next 2 days at minimum. And we don't know where that goes from here. And we aren't a week in. Like, I mean, there are inmates in the Major League Asylum that let this happen. And now, even if you can keep everyone playing, the Marlins are going to have nobody playing for them. And say what you want about the Marlins, that's still major league players, and the competitive advantage just drops, and it already hampers your makeshift season, and it shouldn't have even gotten to this point.
Well, Corey, while we have a chance, we have fans that are watching right now of yours, including this one. Betty Karn Burleson said, "Nice to hear your voice again, Corey." So I wanted to, we'll get some positive news there, brother.
And and it's great to hear from her, and hopefully I'll be hearing from her come baseball season. Her son won't be around for that, but her son Alec won't be around for that. But it's great to hear from her, and I'm glad things worked out the way they did for Alec not too long ago.
Yeah, no doubt.
I wanted to tack on something COVID, some more positive news if we're looking for something positive. CNN reporting over the last 10 days, we have started to see a trend of a steady decline nationally in daily coronavirus positive tests. So it looks like we may have peaked nationally again and started to trickle back down. We'll see if that trend continues.
I hope so, because I think a lot of us felt similarly at about the start of May, and then there we were again. And so, we're talking a lot of baseball here, but the leagues that pushed a bubble together, some that are in play now, some that are about to start later this week, the cases are zero at the moment from the tests that they've done. We're talking about NBA, NHL, Major League Soccer, and the NWSL, which just finished their thing yesterday. They went, their idea worked, at least for the time being, and hopefully it stays that way. If I'm the NFL, I'm looking at what Major League Baseball has just have happened and saying, whoa, wait a minute. Let's really button this thing up, because they're going to be traveling everywhere and they're not going bubble. And certainly on a much larger scale, the NCAA is watching what's happening with Major League Baseball today too, and saying, what can we do here? Because you can't put an American Conference bubble together in football. That's just not going to happen.
No, but I'll be shocked if we don't play college football. There's too much money to be lost. I think they're going to figure it out somehow.
Yeah, I think it'll get figured out. Will it start on time? That's the question. And me knowing nothing about the discussions that are going on behind the scenes with ECU, with the American, with the NCAA, I'm pretty confident we're going to have a college football season, whether it starts at the end of August, like it's supposed to here in Greenville, or whether it starts in January. I think that's what is being figured out, and the NCAA and the American are observing right now and seeing how the pro sports are playing out and trying to formulate the best ideas here. And there's not a great one, but they're going to come up with one.
A couple of things I found interesting this past weekend that I did not expect to see happen. Oklahoma and I believe it was Missouri State, they're up in the season with, and Kansas against some FCS opponent.
Yeah.
Moved their games to August 29th from Labor Day weekend.
To week zero.
Give themselves more time to get all the games in. So I was a little surprised to see teams moving games up.
Well, I am too, and that is a nice explanation that they gave as to why they're moving games up. When push comes to shove, ECU Marshall, which is scheduled for that same weekend, is the only FBS v FBS team that's game that still exists on that week for the moment. And so, knowing how college sports works, did Oklahoma and Kansas see an opportunity to maybe get a little bit more attention if the season starts normally?
Yes.
Yes. That goes to another point that's frustrating with how sports have been trying to come back, is that conferences are doing their own things. And this was a time when you needed, the Power Five coming together is one thing, but you have 10 football playing conferences in Division One, and everybody needed to sit and talk together about how to try and manage this, instead of the Big Ten pulling non-con out of their schedule, the Pac-12 following suit, the Big 12 adding non-conference games all of a sudden, the SEC waiting because they desperately need football to occur for the SEC. The ACC saying hello, and the Americans stepping back and watching how all that plays out. You needed all 10 of these commissioners to actually sit down virtually together and discuss things. And that hasn't happened. And that's really frustrating to me, because this was the one time you could all work together here. And it's clear it's just 10 people doing a bunch of their own stuff. And that is going to create, whenever a season starts, it's going to be a weird, messy one.
You know, Corey,
I think we play this fall. I think you could see some teams start August 29th or Labor Day weekend. And you could see, the Pac-12 said they're going to start the 18th. So we know they won't have any games Labor Day weekend. So if the season does start on time, it's going to be interesting. And you're going to have games postponed and canceled because somebody will test positive. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I personally got a feeling when we play, it's going to be all conference games or all conference plus one, which I know I think the SEC and ACC are talking about that.
Well, and that's something I was talking about, and we'll get to you in a second, Dave. Sorry. But it's fascinating, if all conference happens, that doesn't help the American. Like, the American is so spread out that all conference becomes another hurdle for them. And so now, that looks to be where we might be heading. And again, I don't know, but, you still have teams flying around the eastern half of the country in the American.
Corey, I don't think travel's the point. I think the point is, so your conference, all schools are going to be held to the same standard. You're not going to have to worry about the Sun Belt having one standard and the American having another. And in terms of testing and all, protocol, I guess I should say.
That's a good point. And if it reaches that point, the American, I hope the conference is ready to help oversee it. Because what we've seen, not just in the sports world, but just kind of in general, are people kind of passing the buck off and saying, all right, now you be in charge of looking this over, and you put this in place, and you put this in place. And that's why I have this patchwork quilt of mandates, and wherever you go, county to county, state to state, it's all different. And if the conference says we're doing all conference, then they need to be at the ready to be ones to help enact whatever measures, testing measures, they put in place, because schools will be ready to do it, but you need to make sure everyone's on the same page, because otherwise you get chaos.
Yeah, Corey, I wanted to say another thing that I'm hearing, a proposal once again, and I hadn't even had a chance to talk to Kyle. We've talked about it off the air, but certainly with that, and he's gone somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, now you're your shot.
Yeah. So one thing that drives me crazy is this whole power thing, five thing. And now I'm hearing this push again, and I do not like it whatsoever, of, oh, you know what you should do? The group of five should play in the spring. I'm like, no, we don't want to play in the spring. We are a legit conference. We are Division One. I'm sick and tired of that. It really annoys me when the powers that be and some talking heads, they actually are doing that, where they want to push us to, let's bring Kyle back in. But there, people are talking again how they want to, oh, it'll be better for the American and the group of five.
Oh, if you, they mean play spring football. You mean push the season, yes, full time, not just this,
yes,
year. Yeah, I saw that. I didn't see it about the group of five. I saw it for like FCS. Like someone wrote an article and it's like FCS should move to spring so that it gets more attention. I think it was one of the College Game Day analysts. And there isn't a need for that. The need might occur this season to push things back. There is not like a, oh, well, maybe the Mountain West to get more eyes should start in February instead of August. Nah, you know, that, no, that's not the case. That is a good move by the Power Five to try and become separate, and it's not going to work. Now this year, all bets are off as to when things will happen this year for fall sports, at where we sit right now. But that being a full-time thing, no thanks.
Exactly. That's a terrible idea. In fact, they mentioned the fact on the podcast I was listening to, from The Athletic, about the very fact of how, they said the East Carolina playing, you know, the East Carolinas or the Houstons of the world, you know, like, yes, we, there are a lot of great schools that are out there in the Power Five, quote unquote, but there are also Power Five schools that are terrible. And we're, I mean, when Pirate football is what it's supposed to be, then we're better than most of those lower tier schools in the quote unquote, Power Five, as Kyle has alluded to many times. They don't want us to be Power Six in the American, because there's a lot of schools in the Atlantic Coast Conference and all over, the quote unquote Power Five that would not be able to handle that fact that, oh my gosh, they're on the same stage with us again, you know?
Well, and then you got a lot of people talking about moving it to the spring, which
that's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying it. You got East Carolina, and that's kind of our bread and butter. It's kind of what we built our reputation on over the years, beating NC State, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, et cetera. And you take that away if we're playing in the spring. And the same with Corey's alma mater, NIU, you know, some of the wins they've had over Nebraska, et cetera. I mean, you know, those wins, you know, big wins in conference, and God knows the East Carolina would love some big wins in the American. They're great, but it's kind of our identity when we're good is beating what used to be BCS, now Power Five. So it would never work for East Carolina. Our fans would be miserable.
Well, and that's looking at that from the Power Five perspective, which I don't have one, but just from their view here, that's fine with them. Like, that's why this idea is existing. And it's, you know, you mentioned ECU beating West Virginia in the past, and NC State and Carolina and all these, and NIU and all the wins that I've seen in my time there. Yeah, there's no benefit to Power Five teams losing those games. And they would argue there's not a ton for them to play those games, which is misplaced, but that does exist in that world. And so, if there's a groundswell, like, let's get rid of those games and let's only do Power Five games, conference and non-conference, and try to shift away from that, then you have ideas like this generate. When push comes to shove, money will drive any sort of decision like that. That like just at the floor, it will drive. And there's not going to be a decision like that that comes about. I would be floored if there would be. But
it's not going to happen.
If a TV network comes to the NCAA and says move the Division II season to spring, and we'll give you money for it and we'll air it, they will listen. But I don't know if they'll do it. that will drive any sort of decision like that. I doubt it's ever going to happen to anything related to Power Five or Group of Five. No. Unless, of course, this season. I mean, this season is a different animal, and we don't know what's going to happen. But beyond this, no.
No, it would be everybody, not just...
And then you also have to work with the NFL about doing that, because they don't want to move their draft off of April. Like, they don't want to push anything further back than what they're doing. And if you start going down this road, then good luck.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But, you know, I do think it's funny that schools like NC State and Ole Miss, et cetera, Vanderbilt, Indiana, some of these schools, they're the ones that think they would have the most to gain by some of the Group of Five teams going away. After a couple seasons of playing a full Power Five schedule and their coach is getting fired every year because they're going 4-8, they'd be changing their mind.
Yeah, we have a guest coming up, this NC State guy, so we'll talk to him about that and Tyler Russell.
I'm going to ask him what he feels about Toby from The Office being their head coach in football.
Tyler's a good guy. We'll talk. Hey, Corey, do you want to hang out with us? Can you hang out with us, or do you need to run?
I'm good if you want to hang out with me.
All right. We're going to bring in, let's bring in Tyler now. He is actually the general manager, does a great job. And the Eatonton Steamers, thank God for him. The fact we have sporting events right now, tomorrow night is actually Magic Night, Magic 95.9. I also work for, do multiple jobs. And let's bring in Tyler now to the broadcast. Tyler Russell of the Eatonton Steamers. Tyler, man, how are you?
Good, Dave. How you doing?
Good. Want to bring you on. Congratulations. By the way, Corey, they won on Saturday night. They're now the regular season champions of the Tidewater Summer League. So congratulations, Tyler. Wanted to be one of the first, at least on air, to congratulate you. I know you got to be proud.
Yes, we are. Getting into a new league this summer, it was very satisfying to pretty much run the roost this year and have a very dominant team and secure our first place in the playoffs early.
For fans that don't know, you were in the Coastal Plain League. I know you guys moved out, being like my hometown of Williamston. Eatonton is a beautiful town. It's a great town, but it's not like Greenville or some of the bigger markets where you can – I know that it got to be really tough financially for you guys, but I know that I wanted to give you a chance to talk about the new league, the Tidewater Summer League, and also future plans with that or maybe another league.
Yeah, well, as far as the CPL goes, we were in there for 22 years. It really just came down to being a financial decision for us. It just became too expensive, and we couldn't afford to continue playing there. And the CPL really just kind of outgrew Eatonton. We were not necessarily a desirable market, just because we don't have any media here, and it became hard for us to gain exposure and to stay as part of the league. So we switched over to the Tidewater Summer League this year. It's been a good switch for us. You know, the financial alleviation has been good for us. The baseball has been great as well. We are hoping to grow the Tidewater Summer League in the future. We do think we have the possibility to do that. We have some interest in some other communities and towns surrounding us within an hour and a half to 2 hour time frame that have expressed an interest in starting teams and joining us. So in the next 2 to 3 years, we're really hoping to grow this to a bigger league.
And Tyler, if you need a play-by-play guy, there's a guy right there in that top corner. I'll just say there's one. I know there's one town. I won't say the name of that town, but all four of us know the name of that town very well. And Corey, you know it very well. They have an interest in being a team, and you would be a great fitter. There's some people there. I will just say that. So. You know the town very well. That's all I will say. So.
That was extremely cryptic. Is it Chicago?
Yeah, no, it's Corey. You know the town very well.
Corey. He's talking about DeKalb.
Oh, DeKalb. Oh, we could use a summer league team in DeKalb, Illinois.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be Tyler. That would help you out financially, right? To have a long that would almost be
1,000-mile trip to Northern Illinois.
That's good. Yeah. That's good for the travel schedule. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So right now you have obviously Eatonton, and I know there's other towns, but talk about the other towns you have right now that are in the TSL to help folks. I want to get the build a league and help you guys out, because I've had a blast this summer and last summer able to catch a game.
Yeah, the other three teams involved this year are the Tidewater Drillers, the Greenbrier Knights, and the Old Dominion Hitters. All three are based out of the Hampton Roads area in Virginia. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic this year, they all kind of lost their ability to have their own home fields. So they have been playing everything at Lakewood Park up in Norfolk. They would have been playing in Hampton, Norfolk, and Virginia Beach if things had not gone the way they have. But because of that, we've taken on a lot more home games here in Eatonton, which has been a blessing and a curse for us. It's been great from a financial standpoint, but it's been tough from a staffing standpoint. And for the field itself, the field's getting a lot of wear and tear on it now just from being overused so much during the summer. But these other communities, we've been very proud of them this summer for getting the team together and showing up. We're hoping they can all return next year, and then we can add more teams to them.
Tyler, where are you getting most of your players from? What universities and colleges?
We've got guys from all over. We try to do a good job of recruiting everywhere. The other three teams in the TSL, they get a lot out of the Hampton Roads area, and it's just because there's so many kids there that travel off to play school and just play locally there because there's so many universities and colleges there. A lot of our guys are coming from the state of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee this year, and that's Division I, II, III, junior college, NAIA. I've got a little bit of everything. We've got some guys from the New England area. We've got some guys from the upper Midwest. So we're really all over the map this summer.
That, Corey, that's your neck of the woods with the Midwest.
Yeah, I'm sure they're more than enjoying 95 with 70% humidity because that happens about 2 weeks of summer back where I'm from. And
yeah, a lot of these kids have no idea what kind of weather they're getting themselves into. And when we brought them in mid-June, it was actually unseasonably cool, if you guys remember. We were in the 60s for about a week, and it was rainy and windy. And these guys just, they thought they were not walking into a heat box for the summer. And now that we're having a heat index of anywhere from 110 to 115 every day, they just don't know how to handle it.
Corey, have you been out to Eatonton since you've been in Eastern North Carolina?
I have not been out to Eatonton. I was just out in that way this weekend. I was in Maryhill golfing Scotch Hall Preserve. And so that's the closest I've gotten to Eatonton in my time since I moved out here.
Well, that's not too far away.
It's not terribly far. It's a pretty quick drive from there, from what I gather.
Tyler, you live there. Tell them what Eatonton's like.
Yeah, well, as far as where I live, I can actually see Scotch Hall across the sound from where I live.
I should have waved at you Saturday.
Yeah, you could have. I don't know if I would have seen you, but you could have waved. But Eatonton is a very small place. The population is about 4,700 people, 4,800 people. We're actually kind of on a downward slope, it seems, over time. We kind of lose a few people every year, and it's just – Eatonton's, it's very hard to retain people in Eatonton. There's a lot of young kids that are coming out of high school, and there's really nothing for them to do here. They're going off to Raleigh, Chapel Hill, Greenville, Durham, you know, wherever they're going, Boone, and they're not really coming back just because there's not a lot of industry here. If you don't work for Vidon Health, or if you don't want to build boats for Regulator or Albemarle Boats, or work at Jimbo's Jumbos and Roast Peanuts, you know, it's kind of hard to get those kids to come back. So that's a challenge that we find here for trying to retain a fan base is that the younger fans are getting harder to reach.
And at one time, Eatonton was a big retirement area. It's there on the Sound and the Chowan River. And is it still very desirable for retirees, or is that kind of going away?
It is. We are still a very retirement-oriented community, and the town and county will promote itself that way. They really try. I'm part of the Tourism Development Authority Board here in Eatonton, so I'm part of that group that does the advertising and promoting for the town. And we do a lot of advertising in the Washington Post and things of that nature. We do a lot in the Triangle area, down in Atlanta. New England area in general, we're really always trying to get retirees to come in. And there are quite a few here. But they are very supportive of us. A lot of those people have been baseball people over the years throughout their lifetime. And they've been good fans for us to gain.
Yeah, and it's a very pretty area. I mean, if you haven't been up there, Corey, go check it out. Maybe your mom and daddy will want to move down here from the Midwest.
I was looking across the Sound at it on Saturday. I mean, I was captivated by that area when I was out there.
And you definitely need to see some great baseball. Tyler, let's talk about the rest of the season now that you've won. the regular season. Congratulations again. You, for those who are just joining, they won the regular season on Saturday night, capturing, clinching the regular season title. So now, I know it's, what is it, towards the, it's not middle of August, but it's towards the middle of August that you'll start the playoffs. I know you got a lot of games. We can talk about that too, but before that, but for people to come see.
Yeah, we are. Well, we are running short on the regular season. The regular season actually ends a week from today. And then we have an off day, and then the playoffs are right after. Originally, we had planned on a best of three series in the first and the second round. But because of some colleges opting to go back earlier in August than originally planned, we have cut our playoffs short just so those guys aren't so pressed to get back to school. So right now, unless weather becomes an issue, we're going to be done on August 6th at the latest. Hopefully by that time, we will be the postseason champions of the Tidewater Summer League. We can send all of our guys home happy.
And as far as fans are concerned about the upcoming schedule, I want to remind people they can go to EdentonSteamers.com. It's a great website. You can check that out on all the things. And one of the things I've been impressed with, Tyler, is I know that we I've talked to a lot of people there at the stadium, but as far as speaking of EdentonSteamers.com, guys, you can actually go there and you have the live streaming of the games, which is really impressive.
Yeah, we've been very proud to have that. It's something we've always done over the years. It used to be just an audio stream. In the last couple of years when we were in the Coastal Plain League, they kind of helped everybody get on a video platform. And that's something that we carried over this year, even though we are outside of the CPL. We are doing everything through YouTube Live, which has been very easy and user-friendly. Our broadcaster, Patrick Foster from Hofstra University, has done a great job. He's been very professional with what he's done. And, you know, we think we've had a lot of people that have enjoyed the opportunity to watch from home and follow this season.
Kyle, you might be in LaGrange. Corey, you might be in Greenville, but you can check out the game there live. In fact, the next game, obviously, is tomorrow night for those watching live here on Monday afternoon. Very excited about that, Tyler, to have one of my jobs, Magic 95.9. I do afternoons, and I love the fact that we're having Magic Night there tomorrow night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can you tell fans about that?
Yes, I apologize for my office phone ringing off the hook all of a sudden. I don't know why somebody feels the need to call me now. But anyway, we're very excited about that. The biggest thing there is the opportunity for someone in attendance to win $25,000. That's always very encouraging.
This person, I think people are calling in now to try and win.
They must be trying to get their ticket for tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, you know, we're very excited about that. Bill Benjamin has done a great job with promoting that throughout the summer. Bill's been a great partner for us over the past few years. And, you know, we're very excited to give all of our fans an opportunity to have a fun time and maybe go home with some extra change in their pocket tomorrow.
Yeah, you can answer it if you want to. Let's see it live on the air. First call we ever had live on the air.
I won't do that. I'll call him back eventually.
Yeah. So, Tyler, what as far as what games you have coming up this week? I know Thursday is a big one, isn't it, with the don't you have ALS night coming up?
Yes, yes. So we do have tomorrow night's a good game. Wednesday we're away. We're going out to visit our old friends, the Peninsula Pilots. It's their exhibition game in the Coastal Plain League with them. And Thursday we do have our Strikeout ALS fundraiser, something we've done every year as long as I've been involved. We do a fundraiser for the Jim Catfish Hunter ALS Foundation. Catfish Hunter, obviously a Hall of Fame pitcher in the major leagues. He lived about 20 minutes from the ballpark here in Edenton. And I lost his battle with ALS in 1999. And we've been very proud to do that for them over the years. Our guys will be wearing special themed jerseys. Everybody will have the opportunity to bid on them throughout the game. I know, Dave, you were just here a couple nights ago, and we did our Albemarle Area United Way fundraiser. So, you know, you've seen how that goes. You see how feisty the people get over there at the bidding table wanting to get their jersey. But it's always something fun that we enjoy doing every year.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Tyler, I need to talk to you. I might be banned from the ballpark. Sam the Clam was mad at me because I was bidding on his jersey. And I might have to talk to you if I can come back tomorrow night, at least get a pass for tomorrow night. Yeah, he wasn't too happy. He's like, why are you bidding on my jersey? I was like, I didn't think it was a big for people that don't know, that's the mascot. One of them, Sam and Pam are the Clam, are the mascots for the Steamers. And he wasn't too happy with me, so I think he's okay now. I told him, all right, just take my name off and put my name on another one. I think we're good now.
Yeah, yeah.
No doubt about it.
Corey, I admire the Tyler's persistence for your podcast here of putting the phone off the hook so that no one calls him anymore.
And now that you can hear him beeping, I'll put it back on the hook. Hopefully they got the picture.
Yeah, he's running a team, and he's like, no, Dave, Kyle, this is your time.
Yeah, Corey, it's a great ballpark. Another thing I want to mention too, Tyler, that I want to give you props for is I've been impressed with tell fans about how cheap those tickets are, dirt cheap for people to get in. I can bring all my mom and my two kids are coming tomorrow night for Magic Night, and you don't spend a fortune. Like, I feel like every time I'm like, man, these prices just to get in are very cheap.
Yeah, it's that's something that we did as a very conscious decision we made a few years ago, that we don't ever want coming to the ballpark to be a financial burden for somebody. We want to be able to share baseball with everybody at a good price point. A general admission ticket is $5 for adults, $3 for students, that is age 6 through 18, and then 5 and under is free. And all of our concessions prices, we feel, are pretty good. We've had a lot of people say that our prices are too low over the years. Nobody's ever asked me to raise them other than my food service salesman. We've always tried to take care of everybody, make sure they can come and have a good time, and not break the bank while they're doing it.
And, Corey, they actually have, you'll love you and Kyle, they have a beer garden out there. They have out in right field. It's fantastic.
Sold.
It's awesome.
Yeah. The beer garden was a new addition for us last year. The historic Hicks Field that we play at was part of the John A. Holmes High School campus here for many years. And through that, we were unable to sell alcohol. The Chowan County worked with us very well with allowing us to rezone the property. So it's now county property instead of school property, and that has allowed us to serve alcohol last season and this season. And it's been a good added revenue source for us. It was certainly not a luxury item, really. It was just another revenue source, another form of survival for us. And it's been very well. It's been very well accepted so far. And it's hard to beat a hot dog and a beer at a ball game.
Especially, I always hear about beer gardens at places. I'm waiting for a whiskey fountain.
Sounds like something you need to make, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle, that's actually under that was like a rule that's outside the parking lot, but don't tell anybody. Okay.
Okay. All right.
That's something they don't encourage there. But the beer. I mean, the other night, I think you had a beer special. This just blew my mind. Of $2 for a beer.
Was yeah. That right? Yeah. Yeah, that's something that you see a lot in ballparks. I know when we were in the Coastal Plain League, the Wilson Tobbs, they always had beer specials going on every night, it seemed. And I always enjoyed going to Wilson and watching our guys play because I always knew I could get a cheap brew while I was there. But, we do some specials, especially with the season winding down. We're trying to get out of stock through some things. So there's always some beer specials going on every night.
It's only when we pay, like, in East Carolina, when you pay, like, $4 for a 20-ounce drink, it's only $2 there. I'll give you credit, Tyler. I was really shocked with the price. You would think that the prices with a concession stand would be more because I know that it's got to be tough with running a team and certainly this particular case with collegiate baseball. And I want to give you a shout-out again for all you guys are doing, especially when, I mean, people are like, why are you going to Eden? And I said, I'm going to Eden because there's like that's the only sporting event. Except for, I think you told me the other night, the Tobbs, I think they're doing just season ticket holders and host families.
I think so. I know they're close to the public. That's all I know. There are very few summer collegiate teams that are allowing any fans at all. And of course, we're on a limited capacity as well, just like everybody is. But we are happy that we can let a few people in every night and allow them to enjoy the game.
Can Kyle come tomorrow night? Kyle, you want to come?
It's a bit of a drive from Lake Grange to Edenton on such short notice. But
well, you have a helicopter. I mean, come on. Can he land his helicopter out in center field, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. We could arrange that.
And, Corey, you definitely have to come up. It's a great the field is great, the historic ballpark. And did they have one question I want to ask you, maybe forgive me, Tyler, but did they have pro ball ever there? It just seems like more of a – it looks more of a pro stadium from back in the day more than it does a high school field.
It was. The ballpark was built in 1939 as a WPA project under FDR. And then when we got into the 50s, there was, at that time, the minor leagues was not AAA, AA, and so on. It was Class A, B, C, and D. And Edenton had a Class D team. I believe they were an affiliate for the Orioles, maybe, if I remember correctly. But there was pro ball here for a couple of years. And then after that, it became more of a community-oriented thing. A lot of the surrounding communities had their own summer ball teams. And I think that was more of semi-pro than it was anything collegiately oriented. Also, when they did barnstorming earlier in the 20th century, they brought some barnstorming teams through here to play some of the Edenton teams. At that time, they were the Edenton Colonials was the name of the team. And then I think from the mid-50s, it kind of went away, and then the Steamers were started in 1998. So there was a long gap there where it was only Johnny Holmes High School that was playing here.
Yeah, for people that I actually played there my senior year of baseball, I was on the bench there, but second string for right field. But we lost that game. I'll never forget. That was the longest bus ride of my life from Edenton, North Carolina to Williamson, North Carolina, losing a conference game. That was not a pretty sight. And then on Monday, we had to run forever for losing that game. So, but I'm happy to have good memories now of the Steamers. And how can people find out more about it? And certainly we want people to come out tomorrow night and beyond for sure, Tyler.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, EdentonSteamers.com has got all the information that anything from ticketing to our schedule to upcoming promotions, all of our social media platforms are a good place as well. Our social media intern this summer has done a good job of keeping everybody updated on Facebook and Instagram with everything going on. So there's always any way to find us, or you can give us a call, just like somebody who tried 17 times a few minutes ago, 252-482-4080. And we'll be glad to answer any questions you have.
As long as it's not during a recording of the Sports Objective
podcast. That's correct. Or I will pull the phone off the hook until it starts buzzing, then I'll hang it back up.
I tell you what, when we have the telethon coming up next year, well, hopefully we'll be able to have that. We'll give you get you on there because apparently people like to call you when you're on a live TV show. So thanks so much, Tyler. Appreciate you, man. I know you're off. We'll let you enjoy the rest of your evening and look forward to seeing you tomorrow night at the ballpark.
All right. Thank you, guys. Hope to see you all at the ballpark before the season's over.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Tyler Russell, the general manager of the Steamers. Appreciate him very much for coming on. And that was awesome. And, guys, I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. And, I mean, right now it's the only game we have as far as sporting events outside of maybe the Greenville Little League, Corey, I can think of it.
And I think from what Tyler was saying, that's one of the, maybe the only one, at least in the East, in which fans are allowed in right now, because I know Wilson's closed. I think Tarboro is still closed to fans. Yeah. And like Morehead City couldn't play their season. And so, I'm glad that they're able to get some people in there and do it in a smart way. And that baseball, that level of baseball, collegiate summer league, indie ball, like the low A minor leagues, that's where I started. That's just kind of pure entertainment baseball. Like that's what you want in a summer night. You want a cheap beer and a hot dog and you're sitting in right field and just watching and you're having a good time. That's the origin of baseball to me. And so the fact that Edenton's able to get some people in there and having a successful year on top of it, that's great to see.
Yeah. What I like about them is they're the Steamers. It's a unique mascot. You don't see a lot of Steamers. And, guys, you know, with all the controversy, Cleveland considered changing their mascot, and I'll just leave that there.
Yeah.
Do you feel good about that, Kyle? Do you feel good about that?
I had to get it in, Corey. I had to get it in.
This is why it's been a while since I've chatted with you, gentlemen, because Kyle always have a mic drop like that that just, like, oh, makes me question everything.
Yeah. Question of coming
I like
on
the shower background of like she's not happy with what you said either.
No, I tell you, she's not happy because he's not doing any work. She's always working. And what is she cooking for you, by the way?
She's making ribs and zucchini and mashed potatoes.
Well, thanks for the invite, Kyle.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. We're hungry here. Both of us are hungry.
Yeah,
come on, man. That'll be great, Corey. Talk about. Want to talk to you about. How are things been for you as far as I was coming tough? There were so many times during what would have been the regular season in 2020 And I'm like, man, I would have been listening to Corey right now. I'm at work. I would be listening to Corey right now. There'd be like times when I would be driving my kids and we'd be going somewhere, even just driving around sometimes because we wanted to get the kids out. It'd be like, nice to have the bowl game on like I normally do. How tough was it? I know we had you on a few months ago back in the spring. It seems like when it was early on, how has it been the last few months where normally that would be your busiest time of year and it's like it comes to a screeching halt?
Yeah, I mean, it eventually, I think for everyone, when all this first started out, it was very strange. And then just over time, we all adjusted, including me. And really the only, as what would have been the season kept going as we got into like late April and May, the only way I really knew like, oh, this would have been this weekend. We would have been playing this, you know, this game this night, you know, was doing the virtual games that ECU put together, and they would send that to me and I would do a call and then they'd send it out and they tried to match it up. And they did with like, this would have been USF week. This would have been a game against Carolina. And so that was only the real barometer I had for, oh, this would have been where we were in the season at this point, because it got to a point where, you know, we were all sitting around and stuck in our house and barely going out. And that just kind of was normal. And so looking back now, it was funny when I did my first Greenville Little League game last week, I had Jeff Palumbo with me. And I was using the scorebook from the ECU season to score the Little League game. And I flipped back just two pages and there's the final game of the 2020 season, the game at UNCW. And I showed it to Coach Palumbo. We talked a little bit on the air, and it just feels like that was forever ago. Like it's so far removed from when that happened that night in Wilmington, that now it's just finding a way forward and pushing forward. And I think we're all in that boat now, where what happened to the end of this season, and now we are almost 5 months gone from what happened there. Now it's about getting things back to ready and getting back to normal so that we can have baseball again come spring in February. That's what I'm looking at, and football and the fall sports and the winter sports and the spring sports, making sure those happen.
Corey, I'm gonna have to hop off here right now in a second. So I, you know, one more thing I wanted to ask you. If we can't play football this fall and it gets pushed back to let's just say a February start date, how do you think college football and college baseball coexist? Do you try basketball to schedule home games with home games, or how do you
there would work? There would have to be a ton of coordination done, more so than usual, to try and avoid an overlap. And for a school like ECU, where, you know, baseball is a big deal here at ECU, and scheduling that, and Davey mentioned the tail end of basketball season, say that starts on time in November, then basketball starts to overlap there as well. I mean, it becomes a logistical headache for sure. I don't know if there are simple answers to that. I do know that it will have to take a lot of working with a lot of people and probably people swallowing a couple pills about like, hey, you know what, this game's going to be going on at the same time as this. Like, and that's just the way it's going to have to be. I think everyone, when we head into this college sports year, whenever it starts, is going to have to recognize, and I think John Gilbert has recognized this with some of the comments he's made publicly, that this year is going to be so abnormal from start to finish that it's not going to be like 2 years ago for any sport. It's going to be different for everybody, and you're just going to have to accept it. Whether you are a player, coach, student athlete, administrator, or fan, like, this is going to be weird, and we're all going to have to deal with this together. And hopefully it's not as weird as it could be and not as off-putting as it could be, but it might be. And so everyone's going to have to be on the same page and just accept that, yeah, if things get pushed back from fall sports here into spring, there's going to be a lot going on in a small amount of time, and what gets done gets done. That's just going to have to be what's going to have to be.
No doubt about it. And Corey, I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see if you actually are, we'll leave you with this. If you,
he's gone.
He's gone. Bye-bye. It's like Star Trek. He's like, beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Jessica. He's gone. Those, those ribs were calling. But the fact that you, I've been pushing really hard with the administration for you to be doing other sports, but that would be really challenging.
You've been pushing hard?
Yeah, for you to, I want you to be, for, in addition to.
Let the record show, I haven't demanded that you've done that.
I know. I would like for you and Jay's Sunhalter to do the games, a lot of the Olympic sports that we're going to broadcast. But, you know, that's a whole different, we don't even have to worry about that kind of stuff right now because we're so worried about the big three right now that not to take anything away. We love all the sports in East Carolina, but right now we're just trying to find out if we're going to have a football season. How does, we were just talking about men's and women's basketball for your winter sports pretty much. And then you look at with spring sports, how does that all tie in? So, but I do want you guys to, the two of you all would be perfect for to work together, I think, and we'll see how that plays out. But that's something that's way back in the mind, right?
I can't imagine, and I haven't had any sort of discussions with the school about any of that. They got a lot on their plate now, and coordinating. And it's not just football. And a few days ago when the American said – non-football fall sports won't start till September 1. Like the first event that was supposed to happen on campus was a women's soccer match. And now they've had a couple of games already wiped off the schedule. And just, it's not just, you know, football's the big animal and everything revolves around that. But, you know, there's soccer, there's cross country, there's volleyball that you got to figure out here too. And facilities and say things get pushed back and then you start overlapping where sports use the same facilities, like volleyball uses Minji's and soccer uses Johnson, where lacrosse will be in the spring. So, I mean, there is a lot that is on the plate right now, and nobody really knows what to do. Like, I mean, it's so malleable, the situation right now. There are about 20 different plates being spun right now, I would imagine, in that athletic office, trying to figure out planning for all circumstances.
One of our faithful viewers, he loves the show, by the way, Corey, Bubba Grant. Bubba is his nickname, but William Grant is his obviously legal name. He said, if I had to choose between football or baseball, I choose baseball. So how about that?
A Bubba made it on the show, by the way.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I hope it doesn't reach a point where spring hits and you might have to choose where you put your dollar, but we might, and that's just going to have to be the nature of the beast this year. So it will take a lot of, say that hypothetically happens and fall sports move to spring, then it's going to take, everybody's going to have to realize that it's not going to be ideal, but that's going to, in order to get sports played and in order to let fans in, hopefully by that point, and so you can go to a football game or a baseball game or a basketball or a softball game or any of the sports where you don't have to pay to get in, you might have to do some juggling on personally too. So it just, be patient. That's, I think we all need to be patient, even at this stage in the game of what might be happening here.
Absolutely. Corey, thanks for being patient with us and, definitely love to have you back on in a few weeks, man. Appreciate all your insights and, hopefully we can eventually talk about, it seems like that every time we have you on now, we're talking about,
things on the precipice COVID. Of ending. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the end, it's like I should play REM right now. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I
some semisonic. Yeah. Closing time.
Yeah, exactly.
And next time get Bubba on. And so that he doesn't send me random pictures of a moose like he did today and doesn't provide any context to that at all. Oh, he's trying to get on, but,
I won't talk about his relatives or anything there. Oh my goodness. We have a camp. Well, put on, you've got it on mute right now, Bubba.
I've been called out, so I figured I'd show my face, Corey. Yes, that is the elk here at Cherokee, about 25-30 minutes from Bryson City, North Carolina, up in the area of Western Carolina University.
That's an elk. I mean, that's an absolute unit of an animal right there.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, I mean, I communicate with Bubba whenever I jump on here. And then you just sent me two pictures of an elk in a creek with no context. And I didn't know how to respond to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in the middle of something, and I certainly meant to follow that up with a text explaining and why I would not be on the night. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's nature. Thanks.
Let's get Bubba in trouble. He's hunting elk on an Indian reservation. Cherokee.
Of course I am.
No, he's not really, but it sounded good at the time. Yeah, it's great stuff. Bubba, while we have you on, I know we've got a big night tonight. 50-50. We have 50 Pirates in 50 days. Corey, we've been doing that. And
former You're doing another show tonight?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. We do the summertime is a lot, 50 Pirates in 50 days, but that's like normally when, you know, like people have said before, why do you do like summertime? And it's a great time for us to have more content of like giving a chance to get people ready for football season. And I was joking the other night. I said, we had 50 Pirates in 50 days. What if we don't have football season? So it becomes like 200 Pirates in 200 days because we just keep going.
You're going to have to dig into that Rolodex. Like you're going to have to keep on pushing if we don't kick off in the fall.
Yeah. But Corey, man, thank you so much for coming on, dude.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. I enjoyed it. Bubba, it's good to see you. And we'll be talking down the line.
All right. We'll try to get you before football season starts. We'll have you back on.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be talking about like sports when we chat again here soon and not the Marlins closing baseball.
Exactly. We'll talk about some positive stuff.
Yeah.
All right, man. Have a good one. Thanks, buddy.
See you guys. Have a good one.
All right. Bye. All right. Corey, Gloria there. And Bubba, thank you so much. Nice. Perfect timing because, I'm going to pitch it to you because we've had a lot of great content. Speaking of a lot of great content, I'm trying to remember, like, what night is it? Who's on? We've had so much. But we do that for the fans and giving you 50 Pirates in 50 days. And we got a great one tonight.
Yeah, we do. I'm catching up with Jeff Cook. Jeff played defensive line for the Pirates. He's out of Sanford. I believe it was Lee High School. So Jeff played from 89 to 93 for Bill Lewis and then obviously Steve Logan.
Right.
So we'll have a good time talking to Jeff. And then some of the other shows that we have coming up in the next few days. On Wednesday, we'll be catching up with Court Shankweiler, the other Coach Shank. He's up at Lafayette College in Pennsylvania. And also on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, we'll be talking with Damon West. Damon played quarterback in North Texas. Back in, I want to say it was the mid to late 90s, ran into some off the field issues and didn't make some good decisions, but he learned from it. And now he's a motivational speaker and is doing a terrific job with that and is also an author. So it'll be a lot of fun to catch up with him. On Thursday, we'll catch up at 7 p.m.
I think we lost Bubba there for a second. We'll see if we can get him back Thursday. I know he's missing.
Yeah, the last thing that I said on Friday, I don't recall the time right offhand, but on Friday in 50 Pirates, 50 days, we'll be catching up with former Pirate offensive lineman JT Boyd.
Last thing I heard you say was on Thursday, Lee Workman, right, on Thursday night, just in case.
Yeah, Lee Workman on Thursday. Lee, of course, spent 3.5 decades at East Carolina as an athletics administrator. I saw, you know, obviously Ed Emery, Dave Hart, you name it, so many coaches, so many other, athletics administrators, ADs, you name it. Lee saw a lot and I enjoyed having the conversation with him the other day. We talked for a good half hour just setting up this interview and he has some excellent perspective. A lot of things that people may know, but then some things that people didn't know down through the years. So that will be a tremendous conversation. Then on Friday, if you did not hear this, 50 Pirates in 50 days, JT Boyd, former East Carolina offensive lineman.
And Bubba, by the way, before we go, we have some birthdays we have to say. Today has been really cool for friends of the podcast, friends of the show. I know, first off, a great friend of mine and yours, all of us, David Horn, the IMG Learfield College, Learfield College. He's the producer, host, if you will, and engineer. The man does it all. The golden pipes. He is very good. Helped us before and behind the scenes here with the podcast. And he's just a great guy, one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet in broadcasting. And I mean that sincerely. When you look from a personal standpoint and professional, he's the most professional. I want to give him a shout out. Happy birthday to him. How about Johnny Gardner, one of the best listeners and viewers we have, period. Trivia champion for the Sports Objective, Johnny Gardner, who graduated, I believe, in 91. I believe that's right, 87 to 91, I believe. And we had Ron Clements, right?
Yep, Ron Clements.
There you go.
Longtime sports writer, as you see there on the screen, those three loyal listeners and friends of the program, Johnny Gardner, Ron Clements, and David Horn. Like you said, David Horn, a pretty thankless job, excuse me, that I can imagine. Jeff Charles understandably gets so much credit, but Jeff Charles will be the first to tell you that none of that would be possible without David Horn doing everything he does behind the scenes.
And Marty, and of course, Kevin Monroe and all those guys, I tell you what, they're just, the four of them, I'm just like this. I mean, Marty, the thing that I love about Marty is Marty is Mr. Rulebook. He knows the rules. Oh my gosh. I think he knows the rules better than the people that created the rules. But anyway, shout out to all those guys for happy birthday. Bubba, I appreciate you, man. I know, tell Stacy and the kids, thank you for that. We can borrow you here for a little bit, and I'll let you get back to doing what you're doing there, camping. And we'll actually see you, I guess, maybe in a little bit. If not, we'll definitely have you back on Wednesday for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'll certainly try to make a little cameo appearance during the Jeff Cook interview. Can't wait to go back and listen and watch this interview with Corey Glover and Tyler Russell. I caught bits and pieces. Seemed like a really good conversation between you guys over a smorgasbord of topics, but definitely look forward to checking that out.
It was a lot of fun. And by the way, fans, I want to remind you, you can actually listen to our podcast anywhere. The 50 Pirates in 50 Days, we actually have on SoundCloud and Anchor. So those are two places you can get the 50 Pirates in 50 Days, the podcast version. Or you can obviously watch these live on Facebook or our YouTube channel, or we have them archived there on Facebook and YouTube as well. So I appreciate you, Bubba. Appreciate Tyler Russell. Thanks so much to Corey Glore and also to Kyle from Grange Barber. You've been watching the Sports Objective and listening to it right here. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates!
You've been listening to the Sports Objective podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.